with the confluence of AI and all the new technologies, I did want to re-examine the idea of digital transformation. I know it's one of those topics, but we've got to continually help our customers grow. Michael Lennox joins me to talk about his new book that's been researching this on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Ditch your VPN. VPNs are awful, outdated, clunky, hard to use, and create security vulnerabilities. TwinGate's Zero Trust Network Access is easy to deploy and even easier to use and manage, while always making resources secure and invisible. With native integrations with MDMs, EDRs, and DNS filters, TwinGate enhances your security with the full power of your cybersecurity stack. TwinGate melts into the background, providing intuitive access and lightning-fast connections with the lowest latency. You'll forget you're using a remote access solution at all. Want to learn more? Check out the white paper on why you should ditch your VPN at twingate.com/podcast. Mike, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I love talking to academics, and particularly one from UVA as a fellow Virginian. But I want to actually start in by talking about, you've got a new book out, Strategy in the Digital Age. Why now, and why did you feel this information was relevant, you know, at this time in the business cycle, so to speak?
You know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than the present. I've been studying issues around digital technology going back really decades now. I've been teaching a course called Strategy in the Digital Age to our MBAs at the Darden School. And I had long envisioned taking some of the things that I'd been teaching them and turning them into a book aimed more at managers and how to think through digital transformation in our digital age, but really the strategy piece of this. You know, how do you think about your organization? And for me, I think the big issue that I see a lot of companies missing, a lot of organizations missing, is that often digital technology really transforms the nature of competition within industries. This isn't just about adding a new widget or taking, you know, the latest AI and kind of plugging it in. This is kind of fundamentally reshaping markets. And so the better you understand that, the better you can then design your digital transformation efforts.
Now, having read the book, you start off with one of the classic examples, right? Kodak and how they missed out. We like to talk about that one because it's a great classic example of like missing the boat. But for a lot of people that are doing this in smaller businesses who are, you know, maybe implementers or working with smaller companies, they're not necessarily looking at changing an entire industry. They're looking at saying, how can I be competitive in my space? How does this scale down in terms of the thinking around digital transformation?
Yeah, at the heart of it is what we call in our MBA classes the strategist challenge. So very simply, it's this idea that valuable competitive positions emerge from the intersection of three things. Your value and mission as an organization, absolutely critical. The opportunities the market provides, and then ultimately your capabilities that you bring as an organization. And where can those three things come together? And the reason it's a challenge, especially in the digital age, is that opportunity set is constantly shifting. And shifting in some ways where maybe your current competitive position isn't even viable anymore. I run into a lot of organizations who say things like, well, we want to be the Google of X. And most of the time I sit back and say, you're not going to be the Google of X. Google's going to be the Google of X. You need to rethink, you know, how you can leverage your position to advantage there. And I think that's the hard, critical question that a lot of organizations need to be asking themselves is, in this digitally transformed world, how can we best position ourselves there? And a lot of times it's not throw everything out that you've done in the past and reinvent anew. In fact, I can think of no examples of companies who've been able to successfully just get rid of everything. So how do you leverage the technology to add value given your current set of capabilities? That's kind of the critical question that any level of enterprise, big company, small company, incumbent company, or even a new entrepreneurial venture, they all need to be thinking about. Where is that position that we can kind of carve out for ourselves in this often rapidly evolving market?
Now, this is often a business conversation. And a lot of times, you know, technologists are plugged in a little too much at the IT level here. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how this gets all messed up. When business and IT talk.
The IT professionals are absolutely critical for your ability to pull off a successful digital transformation. And I will say that if your digital transformation is being solely led by your IT organization, you're probably set up for failure. You need top management buy-in. You need top management to understand, again, the competitive implications, right? It isn't just about throwing some money about, you know, moving to cloud computing and getting your data in order by building a data lake. Those are all necessary, but not sufficient. You really need to be thinking, all right, what are the applications we can create? What's the value we can create for not only our customers, but other stakeholders, maybe efficiency enhancing opportunities? And then ultimately, how do they speak to this competitive positioning question? How does this speak to who we are and what we're trying to do as an organization? Again, the IT group is so critical to that, but you need that leadership too to help understand kind of where you're going as an organization.
So how do you recommend somebody know they've got buy-in? What's that look like?
Yeah, one of the things I talk about in the book is this idea of digital champions. So where a lot of efforts fail is maybe in between, if you will, the technologists and the senior leadership. So the senior leadership comes in and says digital transformation is critical. The IT team and the technologists are all bought in. And then it's that level in between, maybe the business unit managers or the operations managers for different units who don't see the potential, or even worse, see this as maybe an effort to automate them out of a job, right? And they become actively resistant. You mentioned the Kodak story. You know, what I love about that story is it wasn't like Kodak didn't see the potential of digital imaging. They had visions of it going all the way back to the 1970s, some of the first patents on digital imaging alike. But they really couldn't get through the organizational transformation piece here. They really struggled at those kind of core business unit levels, them embracing what digital could do for them. So in the book, I talk about digital champions. So these are people who kind of understand what the technology can do, but aren't necessarily technologists themselves. They're not necessarily data scientists or IT experts, but they can work with those experts to understand how they can create value for maybe their part of the organization.
Now, I'm going to ask, because it's such the buzzy thing right now. We put AI, everyone's talking AI,
yeah,
right? But we could put AI into this category of emerging technologies broadly, talking about it as an example of this type. How much does emerging technologies matter when it comes to business transformation?
Well, it depends. You know, one of the things I talk a lot about in the book are S-curves, this idea that early in a technology, you really might not get much efficiency. You might not get much productivity out. You're kind of figuring it out. But if it is going to be a disruptive technology, you move through these phases of kind of exponential growth. And I think AI is a good example. It's been around for decades, but really it's captured the, you know, especially the popular imagination with ChatGPT, really just in the last 6-7 months now. And we're getting to that exponential growth phase of the S-curve. Each of those phases have maybe different recommendations. You know, in the earlier stages, you need to experiment and you need to learn, but do you bet the whole company on it at that point? Well, that's a tough call. But as you move into that exponential growth phase, all right, now you got to start to take this seriously. And all the buzzwords I think are actually hold true here about being a learning organization, fail fast. How do you kind of build a culture that allows you to experiment with something that by its very nature is going to evolve and change in ways that are hard for any of us to fully understand at this point?
So if you're in this space and you're the kind of the consultant, advisor, technologist that's trying to help customers, how do you advise them to help their customers be ready for that experimentation? Because that seems there's a lot of risk there. How do you help warm that so that they're ready for experimentation?
Yeah, and I think there's also a balance between fear and inspiration, right? I think a lot of the language around digital transformation, digital disruption, what I call its evil twin, is in this, like, if you don't move quick, you're going to be dead. There's some truth to that, I think, but it can often be overhyped as well. So I think, again, it's more putting that positive framing on it, that look what these technologies can do for you. Have you really thought through where they can add value? And again, how this might change how you position yourself in the marketplace, and really frame it, not surprisingly, at that strategy level. Again, you don't lead necessarily with the technology, you lead with what the technology can do for you. That's going to be the critical point here. You know, imagine your customers having 24/7 access to expert feedback and expert advice through a chatbot that you've created on your website, right? Like things like that, like understand how this is going to add value.
Now, on the show, I've been positing that one of the areas that I think providers can deliver a lot of value is in the ethics and policy application as it comes to these technologies, because, you know, hard problems are generally where high value is. So what are you advising these organizations to consider from that kind of ethics and policy perspective as they're doing project planning broadly, but specifically as it relates to digital transformation?
Yeah, you know, the digital age is fraught. I have a whole chapter just outlining some of the societal concerns with these technologies and what their impact can be. I think it's absolutely critical that firms are intentional about understanding what those issues are and how they're going to think about them and address them. I'm a big believer that, going back to that strategist challenge, that first part, your values and mission, those are absolutely critical. They need to guide you as an organization. And you need to, again, be reflective on what are the implications here. I think you see companies struggling with this right now. You see Microsoft and Google, they know that this AI is advancing quickly. They know there's some real potential societal implications of this. And they also know that if they just sit back and not do anything, others will continue to advance the technology. So you've got to have a good understanding of where your values are going into that, and then stick with them, of course, because it's easy for companies to fall into these kind of slippery slopes of, hey, look at all this data we can collect on personal information. And boy, look at the things we can do with that data. You constantly have to be asking yourself, is that okay? Do we feel comfortable with that? Is that serving our values and mission to be using data or analytics or autonomy in that way?
As you think about that, are there practical ways that you've seen be successful? Is it like a council of elders that help advise? is it ongoing consulting? Like, what makes that practical for businesses to be successful there?
And in the book, each chapter at the end of it has a little framework to help at least kind of guide your thinking. So in this particular realm, I talk about what we call a stakeholder analysis. You know, who are your various stakeholders? How are they being impacted by these various technologies? What do they care about at the end of the day? And then be, again, explicit about what is the actions you will take as a company, and do they align with your values? And again, I think just outlaying that and being very explicit. You know, think through your customers, obviously, but also your employees. What about the broader communities you operate in, your investors? Any number of stakeholders are going to have an opinion about how you should be approaching this. Be explicit about that. Understand those dynamics, and then have a strategy again, and be very explicit with that.
So I always enjoy talking to academics and authors, because you spend a lot of time researching and thinking. And I want to actually ask, when you talk to your students, particularly the ones that have gone off into the real world and they come back and tell you about it, what's the kind of the biggest surprise that they find in trying to apply the things they're taught out to the real world?
I'll one-up you here, actually. So one of the roles that I've had at the Darden School is I've served as our chief strategy officer for the last 6-7 years. And as part of that, I've actually been building out our data and analytics group and doing our digital transformation. So it's been fun, as someone who studies these things, to actually put it into practice. And I fall into all the same traps I see organizations fall into. I came in with big expectations. We're going to be running sophisticated analyses. We're going to be able to predict which students are going to be successful based on their application, you know, 20 years after they graduate. And I spent the first couple of years just, you know, getting data set one to talk to data set two, right? A lot of our data sat on people's, you know, personal computers on their Excel spreadsheets. So doing the basics, you know, moving to cloud computing, building out a data lake, getting data, again, to be commensurate with one another. Those were huge, huge tasks to just get us to the point that we could do even, you know, a modicum of sophisticated data and analytics there. And I think that's true of so many organizations. Again, you have to do these things. You have to get through them. You have to get through the management challenges. I talk about, you know, some people use data as power within an organization. And so they're very reluctant to give it up to something like a data lake, because, you know, now they're no longer that authority that everybody has to go to get the facts about something. And again, that takes leadership to kind of really motivate everyone that, like, no, here's what we're trying to do and why this is important. And we need everybody on board on that.
Now, one of the other things, the last things I want to get a little insight from you on is tell me a little bit about the differences in kind of measurements of digital transformation between product companies and services companies, because they can both go through this process, but you know, they have sort of different metrics from, particularly from a profitability perspective, you know, services business not always as profitable as a product-based one. Are there major differences here to be aware of when you compare services to product?
Well, I would go one step further and say those boundaries are getting blurred, right? As we move into software as a service, which isn't a new concept, been around for a while, as we see new business models proliferating, the use of advertising for the likes of Google and Meta, and a number of other companies here. So this idea is that a product or a service is actually becomes a clear strategic choice you need to make, and can also be one or the other in some instances here. And so this gets back to kind of the core strategy framing. What's your business model? And one of the things we talk about, and borrowing from our economics terminology, but this idea of appropriability, you know, as you create value, that value gets shared with your various stakeholders, like your customers. How much of that do you appropriate yourself as an organization is an important question, because, you know, you're probably seeking to make some profits of the like over what you do. That appropriability question goes right to what you were talking about, right? Is this, again, a service-based model? What does that mean for our margins? What does it mean for our growth opportunities? Is it a product-based model? Especially in the software world, you see a lot of flexibility between these things. But even as we do more of kind of the Internet of Things and put more intelligence in everyday artifacts, that's starting to change the dynamic for even what we might think of as kind of hardcore, machine product sellers. I think about General Electric and some of their attempts, maybe not as successful as they would like, to turn what, you know, look like large industrial equipment like generators and embedding them with intelligence and then connecting them on a network. And then suddenly you're doing more service-based contracting than you are kind of selling you the device. Again, in the digital age, we're seeing these boundaries get blurred all over the place.
Well, that should be a good opportunity for services businesses. So I like hearing that. Mike, if people are interested in learning more, I'm sure you've got some resources available. You know, how can they get those?
Yeah, the book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all your favorite online retailers. My personal website is www.michaellenox.com, L-E-N-O-X. And you can find additional information about my work there, including a podcast that I have as well on Good Disruption, it's called. And then in addition to that, Twitter and LinkedIn, I'm, trying to be socially savvy as much as I can.
Well, cool. Well, the book is Strategy in the Digital Age, Mastering Digital Transformation. Mike, thanks for joining me today.
Dave, thank you so much for having me.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit MSPradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.